Today on Once Upon a Time, we talk about Ruby, Dorothy, and Mulan. Oh my! Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back, Oncers, back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here doing the after show for Once Upon a Time, Season 5, Episode 18, Ruby Slippers. We're very excited to talk about this episode because there's so much to say. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Obviously, Tiana's not here, so we miss her. Follow her on Twitter, at the Tiana Hobson. But you can follow me on Twitter, at SerafiniTV. And you can follow my lovely co-host over here.
Hi, guys. I'm Roxy Stryer, and you can find me everywhere, at Roxy Stryer.
And I am Blake McIver, and you can also follow me everywhere, at Blake McIver.
Keeping it nice and simple.
We're just keeping it simple.
That's the simplest part of tonight's episode.
I almost said we're keeping it straight, but we're definitely not keeping it straight in tonight's episode of Once Upon a Time.
And there's the first joke.
We should have a ticker, like a little counter. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's a symbol. Yeah. Oh, I'm in trouble. Okay.
Ruby Slippers. Quickly, what were your thoughts? Blake, let's start with you.
Well, tonight's episode was very eventful. It was, there were revelations. There were moments of unadulterated love and passion. I'm very excited to get into it. I enjoyed tonight's episode probably a little too much.
Okay, Roxy.
Let's be honest with each other right now. Anything with Ruby, I adore. She's one of my favorite characters ever. So even going into this, it being called Ruby Slippers, I was like, yes, don't care. I love it, whatever's happening.
You said yes.
Yeah, I'm like, yes. Queen. We took a couple of turns that I didn't see coming, and I'm excited to kind of figure out how I feel about them by hanging out with you guys and talking about it a little more.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I think the one word I can best describe it, all-encompassing, progressive.
Yeah. Oh, progressive.
Progressive.
Yeah, it definitely was, which
is multiple ways.
Yeah.
We'll get there. All right, let's start with just the flashbacks. So we have Ruby, Dorothy, and Mulan. They're all pairing up together. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Lots going on. Lots going on. Of course, they cross paths with Zelina because their first encounter, was it like last week's episode, I believe? Or maybe it was 2 weeks' episode. A lot happens in the show.
Yeah.
But they're not on Zelina's good side. Do you like them still like hanging out in the forest and still trying to work against Zelina? Is this fun?
I mean, it makes sense. I'm not, like, super invested in it.
I have less of a problem with Zelina's airtime than you guys do, so I'm okay with the flashbacks a little bit more. Although I do think usually when we get flashbacks, it's, like, to show to us some like a very important thing that happened to explain the future. And I guess this might have been about the relationship and the kiss that we were going to see. But I think that they spent a lot of time with Mulan there too. And I like seeing Mulan. I just think that it took up a lot of airtime and we didn't get as much out of it maybe.
Yeah. But pretty much Zelina's just trying to track those girls down because she wants the slippers to get back to her daughter.
Right.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it.
The daughter that she doesn't even really know where the daughter is.
Not really, yeah.
Because so, Robin's got the child in the forest somewhere.
But of course that they, during all this, well, okay. I mean, for those who have actually listened, I don't want to keep jumping all over the place. But Ruby and Dorothy spend a lot of time together. During this flashback, they're building their relationship, friendship. And like, granted, they just met in the forest.
Just
met.
Yes, they did.
And they come across Toto and all that. But what do you think of Dorothy's and Ruby together during these flashbacks?
I think to answer that question, I have to start a little bit with what do I think of Dorothy?
Okay.
Which, unfortunately, and this might not be a popular opinion, but I don't think she was cast correctly. I think that, I mean, it's hard because I obviously have such a strong image of who Dorothy is, as do you guys.
Judy Garland.
Yes, and it is Judy Garland.
But if it can't be Judy Garland, isn't it great that it's a lesbian? I mean, keeping it all in the family.
Where's our sound cue for that? I think that is a really good point, and nobody can be Judy Garland. But it's more that I think this girl is very harsh. Like, she's just very, very hard.
She's and rugged.
So yeah, and something I love about Dorothy is that she's so loving and giving. Mm-hmm. Anybody she finds on her way, she just wants to, like, give and help these people and is always open arms, no matter what's happened to her in her life or whatever. She just is, like, a sweetie pie. And this Dorothy isn't.
Well, this is a post. What I found interesting about this Dorothy tonight is we got a little post-Return to Oz Dorothy, because there was that moment, which Return to Oz is technically a Disney film. Mm-hmm. They made it. And she gave us the backstory of, like, the first time I came back from Kansas, everyone tried to have me committed, which is that's how Return to Oz opens, where Dorothy's having, like, electroshock therapy. And it ruined my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad we at least nodded to that, because I'm like, this is that Dorothy.
Right. And I didn't want to go there. Right. It's just not my preference. So maybe they did cast her correctly for what they wanted, but for what I wanted, it's not exactly lining up.
You wanted to be over the rainbow.
I really did.
I get
especially
that.
This big rainbow that we are presenting here. It's something I wanted to be over.
I get that. And we know once upon a time what they do so great is establishing strong female characters.
Yes.
And do you think it was just because they wanted another strong female character that maybe they casted someone who's a little, I don't want to say too strong, but definitely was that type of building of strong women?
Maybe. Maybe they had an idea in their head and maybe they wanted somebody really strong. But I don't think it has to do with her strength as much as, like, I think you can be really strong and you can also be incredibly open and giving. And again, because I love everything Ruby does, it worked for me because I believed it. I believed Ruby's end of it so much. I believe that she fell in love at first sight. Right. And I believe that this is something she would do. She would go to the ends of the earth for somebody. I just don't know if I believe that about this Dorothy.
Yeah.
Like, if Ruby was in the same position, do we feel like this Dorothy would have done this for Ruby?
I don't know. And it's actually very interesting because we see Ruby and Dorothy. They're bonding over a lot of similarities mm-hmm. that they're having.
Yes.
Because they're also building this potion to try to stun Zelina, I believe. And, of course, then they have to – the one last ingredient that they need is the poppies.
Mm.
And then they go off. Those
poppies.
Two. I loved Ruby's, like, I didn't ask.
Yeah.
I mean, a little production design shade. Those plastic poppies that were stuck in the random middle of the same forest that is so conveniently Oz, the Enchanted Forest, the Storybook Forest, and the Underworld Forest was a little bit lazy.
And I think it was just kind of crazy because when those two entered that field, they came in from, like, behind. And then when they were getting chased by the winged monkeys, they went into the fields. Like, no, just turn around and
go back into the forest
way that you just
they'll
came
have
from.
A harder time flying through.
Absolutely that. But not only that, again, my questioning of Dorothy, how did you know what to do in this situation? She's like, oh, yes, I must pick up her cape. Let me get on this wolf. And then in order to get her back, let me put the cape over her. Like, have you seen this show before?
Yeah.
She watches it at home.
She definitely watches at home.
Yeah. They just didn't have time to, they had no air time to explain it. So they're like, you just know. You're just one
it's
of them smarties.
The audience knows, so we can already infer that she probably knows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ruby said that she watched Wizard of Oz. She was like, there's lots of singing in this.
Yeah, but not once did Dorothy say that, oh, I know how your cape works, Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watch your show, too.
I love all your stories.
That'd be great.
All right, so pretty much they're... Yeah, there's that. And it's just... How do I say this? Do you... Under, like, all this time, screen time that we see with those two, in the flashbacks, do you believe that there's a strong enough relationship that we'll eventually see in the present when it comes to the true love's kiss aspect?
Oh, I think so. And now it sort of, to me, it sort of makes sense now that Dorothy is so, like, kind of closed off and a little bit more, I mean, let's just be real, she's the Butch. Ruby's the femme. It's fine. Not all relationships work like that, but this one seems to, like, have a little bit more of a yin and a yang, and I think that's cool. I think, and also, like, whatever it takes to get primetime Disney lesbian relationship on the air, like, I'm in.
Yeah,
like,
I completely agree with that. Like, I just hope that I grow to like Dorothy a little more, and that she does, like, if even if Ruby is her soft spot, I hope we get to see that vulnerability because she did leave her. She bounced out. And I want to know that Ruby's going to end up with somebody who's ride or die because Ruby deserves that. So
I love that you're like proud mama bear to Ruby. I love it so much. You're like, she better be good enough for her.
Yeah.
Ruby's amazing.
Ruby. Yeah. She is amazing. She's really great.
Unlike Dorothy, who we didn't see what she went through. We just kind of heard about it in two sentences tonight. We've seen everything that Ruby's gone through. So it's like I'm there. I'm caught up with her. So I do think, to answer your question, Marissa, that it did earn the ending, and I was like kind of a little bit tearing up and really into it, but I still want to see it grow and develop in order to be like, yes, this is my ship. I'm totally on their team.
Okay. I only ask that because when we get to the present and we see and we learn that Ruby rode the tornado and tried to get to Zelina because she needs the slippers. I ask that because just in that short amount of time in flashbacks, we only hear Ruby in the present saying how much she cares about Dorothy.
Right.
And this is where I question. I'm like, was there enough time for the audience to believe that the relationship is strong enough?
Right. Well, low-key, how awkward would it have been if she went in for the kiss and just nada?
Oh my gosh, nothing happened. That would have been terrible.
Yeah. It would have been really bad.
Yeah.
Be like, all that
for nothing. I think what we're trying, what they're trying to, you know, sort of put forward for us here is that it is a love at first sight sort of situation. Like we're in this world, we're supposed to still believe in that's possible.
What do you think of Ruby's conversation with Snow White?
Oh my God.
About this.
Where Snow White becomes like an LGBT guidance counselor.
Yes.
I love this.
And outs her and then is like, but it's okay, we can talk about it. I'm like, oh, Snow White, gay rights activist, 2016.
I know you're joking, but this was my favorite scene of the
whole
movie.
No, it was really cute.
I loved it.
It just made me laugh, but I totally bought it.
Number one, it was very well shot. That hallway looked extremely cool. It was beautiful. I was like,
way to go, cinematographer. Yeah.
Very good job. Second of all, I forgot about Ruby and Snow's BFF-ness.
Like, I never forgot. I was like, yep, we needed this.
This is what the show is missing, them just being best friends and helping each other out. So I love that she knew her well enough to be like, yo, you're in love, which is why on Ruby's end, I totally believed it. I love that scene.
So good. I think Snow White had, Mary Margaret had the best line. That's a great sign because love is freaking scary. And what you get back when you love someone far outweighs the risk.
Yeah.
I was like, and Snow White knows from experience.
Yeah, I love when she reminds us of her first interaction with her hubby.
So. Oh, right.
I hit him.
I hit him the first time.
All right.
Fair.
You hurt the people you love.
That's fair.
As all great relationships start. Yeah.
Physically or emotionally. I did like this moment. I was like, yes, we need, anytime we have Ruby back, we just need a Ruby, Mary Margaret friendship scene.
Well, it reminded me how much I miss those great scenes where they used to just have like great long scenes sitting in the diner just hashing stuff out, you know?
Mm. Love it.
In Auntie M's diner? No.
Grannies.
Oh, we'll get there. I think we are there.
Is that where we're heading?
We see the
follow the Yellow Brick Road, Marissa.
pretty much. We see the Charmings, and they're trying to now help Ruby out. And she's unconscious, now awake. Hey, we have to get Zelina. And I loved Regina's conversation with Zelina.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a shocker right there, Marissa.
I had to like
No, but it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
It was totally great.
So what do you think of Zelina now in this episode? We've had a couple episodes with Zelina back, but what do you think of her behavior in this episode? Did she bother you as much?
I was never bothered as much as you guys again, but I think that we are setting ourselves up for the age of good Zelina. I think at the end of the day, this is the start of her journey to happiness and finding her happy ending. And so I think that her being with her sister is a good thing. I think that maybe she will play Hades a little bit for us. We'll get into predictions, but I kind of like her, that we're using her more. She has a purpose. We need that. Go ahead, Blake.
All right, here's
bash
my
it.
No,
bash
my not, dreams. I'm not going to crush your dreams. You're going to be shocked. This is my favorite Zelina episode to date, right. But not for the reasons you think. Here's why.
Full surprises.
Because
always.
Zelina, this episode was just like sometimes bleep goes down, and you have to just put on a full beat of makeup, fix your hair, pour yourself a nice stiff glass of whiskey, sit down, and just be like, well, bleep happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, come through, Zelina. Come through.
Yep.
Doesn't make me think she's a more redemptive character. It was just like, I just sort of kikied over her, what she was serving to us.
I don't care why you like her. I just like you liking her.
I love that, Blake. That was amazing. I kind of agree with you there because sometimes you just have those days where you've gone through it. You really don't give any crap about the world, and you, all you do is just have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her moment.
She was giving me alcoholic glam realness.
Yeah.
I get what you're doing, Zelina. Go drink your drink your whiskey, whatever you were drinking.
By the way, you're already in the underworld. Might as well.
Might as well.
Seriously.
But her hair was on point. I'll just say
we'll
that.
We'll see
Zelina,
what Blake has to say about
that. Her hair was on point. That's what I say. That's my own little once upon a weave. But, okay. So during that, we actually get Zelina a softer side.
Mm-hmm.
She agrees to give those slippers over to Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally willingly, this is the start of her changing. Take my slippers, borrow my curling iron, let's paint each other's nails.
Let's not get carried away.
I can see what you're saying. I say this is one of the opportunities that was actually presented to Zelina, and she chose right.
Mm-hmm.
She chose correctly. And I love how Regina brought up the line. It's like, you made many mistakes, maybe 30. But
true.
Here's the
shame.
Chance not to make a mistake, and Zelina didn't. So, All right, Zelina. All right, good on you.
If anybody knows, Regina knows. You can.
And Regina knows. And I loved, and I that's why I say it. Like, I love how Regina was the person who brought this up to Zelina, because
totally.
She knows.
Well, I think the only way that, like, Marissa and I can totally get on board for a Zelina apology tour is if it's led and
through
coached
Regina.
By Regina.
Yes, through Regina.
As it would have to be.
Like,
sister.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I love that.
Now I'm thinking about the Maori sisters.
It's like, Regina's like a conduit for Zelina's maybe potential good behavior.
We're going to be sitting here a year from today, and Marissa's going to be like, I love Zelina.
Anything can happen.
It might.
Dorothy's
it might.
A lesbian. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I loved Regina from the start, even when she was evil, so that's a whole different
thing. That's
true.
But,
all right, so they have the slippers, they go to the cemetery, Ruby, and we also actually see Mary Margaret is now going along for the trip, but we'll kind of go rewind a little bit back. But Ruby actually goes back to Oz. And true love's kiss. Did we like this moment?
The people watching, I wanted them to leave.
The Munchkins?
Yeah.
You didn't think they deserved to be there?
Everyone.
I just like wanted it. Yes, I did. I liked the moment a lot. Like I said, I teared up. I loved it. But I just wanted it to be a little more private because I was so worried, like, oh my God, this poor girl, she just kind of came out today.
Yeah.
And now
a few minutes ago.
And this is her first kiss
and
with her.
And it's real public.
And it's real public. Mm-hmm. Like, as if she wasn't nervous enough. She was already so scared. So I kind of just wanted everybody to be like, let's give you five.
We're just all going to just go
but
into Mulan our
little. Mulan was there cheering her on.
Yes,
at least she knows
Mulan.
Them. These
Munchkins. And I loved how Mulan was like, yeah, I know what the feeling's like.
Yeah, I get
I've
it, girl. I get it, girl. Like, not only like sleeping women, being in love with women. I get it.
Because my girl was also asleep. Aurora was sleeping for a while. I know what it's like.
Bleep happens. Pour yourself some
for
whiskey.
For real, though. But I did love that. So we got the true love's kiss that like, you know, woke her up and had the zoom.
I like that.
Star Wars moment.
Yeah.
But I really loved that they then let them have some scene work and then really make out. Like, you know, so often in prime time with like gay relationships, it's like, oh, the straight people can make out for like 30 seconds, but the gay people like have very non-sexual. Like
a fight. Right.
You know, and so this was like good progress.
And
progressive. Just like you said, Marissa.
This is coming at a very good time too, because everybody knows that it's been a major trope, especially recently. Everybody's saying that people kill their gays on shows.
Right,
they kill
right,
them off. They, right. Yeah, it's been horrible. And especially like on the 100 and all these different places, people are like just livid about it. So I love to see this. And I'm so with you that if they had just done that little kiss, I would have been like,
okay.
All right.
I mean, it's nice. Right, it's still great.
They gave it to us. Line. But damn right, grab her face and make out with her. Because guess what? You just found out that she's in love with you, too.
Yeah.
What do you do when somebody's
come
in love
through,
with you?
Come through,
Dorothy. Yes. Yes. Thank God we got that moment. Because I would have been a little upset.
Hashtag Dorothy.
Yeah. Hashtag Dorothy. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I'm so misbehaved.
No, I kind of like
this
it.
It's like great. Some lesbians come to town and I just lose my mind.
I loved it. And I love how Ruby actually had a genuine moment. Because I feel like people who, you know, had that realization and now are true to themselves in that way. And, like, they can be scared. And I felt like this was a real genuine moment with Ruby's character.
Yeah.
Although, I loved
it. When Dorothy woke up, girl was confused.
Yeah.
She did need a moment.
Yeah, of course she did. She opened
Wolfie.
Her eyes and she was like, Wolfie?
Wolfie?
Yeah.
Kansas?
Yeah. Which one of those two nicknames do you guys like better?
Wolfie is much more Wolfie. Nickname than Kansas.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I concur.
Yeah. It was cute, endearing, maybe.
It was. It, you know, it was fine.
Sure.
Sure.
But, yes. So, all right. Ruby's a lesbian. Dorothy is a lesbian. Good on them. This show went from PG to PG-13.
Yes,
yeah. It did. Here we go. All right. And now let's take it back to the charming family. Still under... Store Underbrook, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as they call it. And we got the moment with Zelina. But now, because, you know, during they're trying to find Aunt Em, Ruby's aunt, during all this. But they run into Hades. Ooh.
Oops.
At Aunt Em's diner. The competition. I love Emma Caulfield, and she was hysterical as the blind witch. It's like, oh, she's the competition.
Yeah, but so you funny. Would not eat at her place. You would totally go to Aunt Em's. The vibe there was so much chiller. No, I actually did like it better there. She was making chicken, and I was like, wow, I'm hungry. That looks so good. I'm going to go to Underworld just
I
for
mean,
that.
I mean, yeah, if I had to pick menu between aunties or blind witchies, I don't think I want the crispy children. I think I want, you know, like, you more could, recognizable
maybe.
Food.
Could be good.
You but, don't know. Yeah, okay, so the Charmings had that small realization because a couple episodes ago we had David breathe into the bottle. They're like, hey, if we had the same thing, but instead of breathing, have it blow a kiss, send that to Oz, and that'll help wake up Ruby.
No. I like that that was brought back, actually, though.
I like, yeah, that did come back.
A little payoff. Yeah, yeah, it was nice.
That was good. But unfortunately, Auntie Em literally gets liquidated.
I mean, melting.
Puddle
I'm melting
by Hades, and then he put her in a mason jar, and that was nasty.
So hipster yeah. of Hades to put her in a mason jar.
And can I make a really weird comment?
Sure.
It looked like the water looked disgusting.
It
she
was
looked, like couldn't it have been clear at least.
It was milky and
it was like
gross.
White Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
it was nasty.
I was staring at it, thinking, why? Why? Why when you melt somebody down to a liquid form does it? Oh, God.
Yeah, I just... wrote down milky white people soup.
Yeah. And they had been talking about soup. She's like, I make the best soup. And then we saw that. And I was like, oh, my God, somebody's going to eat
like,
this.
No, ooh. You did make the best soup.
That
literally,
is,
that was you.
That is not chicken noodle or lobster bisque.
Oh, it gives me shivers to think about it. Like, I'm picturing myself getting melted down into a mason jar. Like, what what the shade of it would be. And, like, if it would be that milky texture.
Oh, it was so nasty.
It was nasty.
It was gross.
It's really
we can
wrong.
Move on. I just needed to comment that.
No, I agree. Because I put literally white Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Because it was.
So we were all on the same page
and
with
then,
that
one. Hades and Zelina... When down in Hades' lair, so to speak, I loved his line. That was freshly bottled.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was bottled, but it wasn't fresh.
Oh, no.
Ew. Yeah. And then he dumps her into the river.
Yeah, because it's not enough to put
river
her in a mason
souls.
Jar.
No, now river souls. Bye.
Bye, Aunt Em.
Which, by the way, isn't even going to matter because true love's kiss prevailed.
Yeah.
It idiot didn't come Hades.
But... So I feel bad for Aunt Em because she didn't deserve that.
Yeah, she was just like caught in the crossfire.
They should have never even tried to go to her. because then she would have just been straight chilling.
She seemed like a cool person. Like, yeah. If her and Granny were best friends,
oh, I would totally buy that. Yeah. Merge the restaurants. Mega diner.
Definitely. I want your pancakes and your chicken. Thank you.
Done and done. Breakfast, lunch.
Waffles and chicken. Put it together.
There you go. Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. Mm-hmm. There we go. We kind of want to see that.
We've got some really crazy hashtags for this episode. Nicholas Kelly says hashtag life is a puddle.
Yeah, so what are the ones they're saying in the live chat?
Yeah, they're so awesome.
Thanks,
everyone. Price said hashtag death is a puddle. Raven Girl, hashtag puddle M.
Puddle M, I like that one a lot.
Earlier, yeah, that's showing up a lot. But earlier, they were saying that Ruby and Dorothy's ship name should be hashtag Ruby Slippers, which I don't... I think, like, it's funny, but then wouldn't you think it would just be, like, Ruby, but Ruby Slippers, I get it.
I prefer Dorothy.
Yeah, Dorothy's good.
Because it doesn't roll off the tongue, so you have to sort of just, like...
yeah, Ruby Slippers is a good one, though.
Stutter on it.
Yeah.
I do like Ruby Slippers. That's nice.
But for the most part, everybody in here seems to be liking that ship. We've got some mixed opinions on Dorothy, though. Okay. And also, yeah, I think people are excited to see the Zelina storyline, where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes, Zelina and Hades, just a little bit. Do we think Zelina, after her kind of somewhat genuine, sincere conversation with Regina, do we think now Zelina with Hades is kind of playing him a little bit?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I think that she had another one of her first few legitimate moments with Belle. And then I think she went to Hades with all intentions of playing him. Now, whether she ends up following through with that or not, tough to call. But I think that right now she's a little bit on our team. I think so.
Okay. Blake, do you
think
agree?
She's a little blinded still with, like, well, somebody likes me. I don't trust him still, but he likes me. You know, I think she's conflicted.
He put somebody in the River of Souls for me. It's so dreamy.
Dreamy. The dream. Yeah,
absolutely.
So he's playing him like a game.
I think, but you're right on your call too. Like, she might be maybe trying to, but then he gives her attention. She doesn't usually get that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Marissa?
Yeah, I think it's a big game. And you know what's also when you can do when it comes to games?
What?
DraftKings.
Yeah.
The best. And this is, like, the best time of the year for me, personally, because I love NBA. And NBA playoffs have happened. Boston Celtics.
Go Celtics.
Go Celtics. DraftKings.com. You guys, check it out. If you guys are big into drafting and sports and all that, it's the place for you. Fantasy, football, sports, golf, anything. Go to DraftKings.com and use the promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z. And the great thing about DraftKings is you can draft all your players and win some money, up to $1 million.
Oh my God,
wow.
But if you don't do, yeah, if you don't do great in a week, the great thing is you can start the next week all over again. And it's free if you go to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, and do it. Play. I love basketball. You, both of us. Roxy, you and I love basketball.
And I also love $1 million.
They're
a little more than basketball, even,
so,
I think.
Then what are you waiting for? Go to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code BUZZ. It's awesome. It's free. Do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Marissa.
Yes. All right. And then real quickly with the Charmings to wrap that up. There's still the whole problem with we have I love how they take the telephones are now gone. Done.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Cruella.
Cruella was great.
What is the payoff on these phones? They keep bringing in these phones that they're communicating with Neil with these phones. They don't even know if he can actually hear.
Not
anymore. I mean, the storybook said that they could, but
right.
I don't care about these phones.
Yeah, do you think it was because we're removing the phones now, that was literally just like a launching catalyst of now forcing people was like, we have to start sending people back.
Yeah, I think we needed to just remove that little safety net.
Yeah.
I guess. They spent so much time on these phones. We're waiting in line always for this phone.
Yeah.
To haunt our loved ones.
Well, not anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I mean, really, it just facilitated Cruella to be able to call him Chisel Chin Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so good.
And she that is. Was enough for me.
She's yeah. just so good.
I think Zelina needs to share a little bit of her whiskey with Cruella. Maybe she'd be a little kinder.
I think Cruella needs a drink. Yeah. For
I think
sure.
Cruella's more of a bourbon kind of lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and clearly Hades has all of the... Oh, yeah, no, she's a gin drinker.
She's a
she
gin
told
drinker.
Us that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But Hades has all the liquors down in his little lair.
True.
I mean,
oh my goodness.
That bar is stocked.
Shoot.
I was like, Hades.
We're going
invite
there for
a brother over.
Happy hour.
Oh, my God. Should the three of us open a bar and call it Underworld?
Yes.
I am all
and our bouncer has blue
it.
Hair.
You don't have to tell me twice.
I am all for it. Okay, so they remove the phones, and they're like, oh, we have to go back. Neil doesn't know about us. You know, and then
yes, because you left your child.
I have, well, yeah, I mean.
The blue fairy's looking
they
after.
Have, yeah, they have to
rebel.
Take care of family. I get that. But Snow White can't go because her name's still on Tombstone. But what do you think of this loophole technicality that Hook's hand was literally enchanted by Hades, so he always had the power to change the name from Snow White to David Nolan?
And why would he put David's name on it? Pick somebody else. There's got to be some grumpy person at Auntie's diner that he can just be like, you know what?
That's right.
It's your day, honey.
Sorry.
I understand that he's writing with a hook, but dear God, work on your handwriting. That's going to be on a tombstone. Like, what if that has to last forever? I need you to work on it.
That was literally chicken scratch.
Yeah. I scribbled it on my hand.
It took me a minute to realize what it was that he had written. I was like,
oh, bless.
Oh, David, that's what that says.
Right.
Yeah.
It was funny. I mean, as bad as a handwriting as he had it, you got to remember, it was written with a hook,
yeah.
Not a pen
That's
or
true.
A quill.
That's
it was
true.
With a hook.
Officially, Ty Shea in the chat says he should have put Rumple's name on the stone.
Indeed.
Mm.
That would have been a good
Interesting.
Call.
But in fairness, Hades already has something over Rumple to keep him there. So
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I would have put Rumple's name too. Shoot, he doesn't deserve to go back to Storybrooke.
I would have been a total meanie and made up somebody's name.
Like, you know,
Georgie Porgy. Gotta
Humpty
stay.
Dumpty.
Better one. Oh my God, poor
John
Humpty.
Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's my name, too. Isn't
exactly.
that how it goes?
But, okay, so we see.
His name is my name, yeah. That's
yes.
It.
But we see Mary Margaret gets poofed out with Ruby, but because of the pages and whatnot, Henry is pretty much like, oh, hey. Grandma made it back to Storybrooke. She's good.
They were really confident that those slippers were going to bring both of them back. I was like,
yeah.
Totally. But
confidence, I didn't think it was unjustified. That, like, how did you know that?
And just technicality question. So Snow, we saw Snow go to Oz for mm-hmm. the big kiss, which missed opportunity that she didn't say kiss to girl.
Seriously. Seriously.
Come on then.
But thank you. But then, so are we to assume that Snow is now wearing the slippers and that's what got her back to Storybrooke? Like, she clicked three times? Because surely Dorothy
so.
Is together in Oz, happily ever after.
She's third wheeling hard.
You know what
She's
they could
third
do?
Wheeling.
You know what they could do? Okay, if we're going to go off of that theory.
Yeah.
If Snow White has the slippers in Storybrooke, she can go back to Underworld whenever. And keep,
That's true.
Just keep sending people back and forth.
That's probably what we're leading up to. That
Dude.
They're going to do an underground railroad of slippers.
Yeah. We have to get their passing. Names off of the tombstones.
That's true.
True. But we can send all the people who aren't on the tombstones back. And then, you know.
Like trade places. Like you chill here for a year. I'll switch places with you in a couple seasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Can we bring
first
Ruby
of all,
back with us?
Where's Robin during this? Like Blake, you and I were like.
Chilling in the forest
where the heck
with
is Robin?
That baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just being Mr. Mom out there.
I don't know. All right. But of course, we can't forget Belle and Rumple.
Can't we though?
I mean, we can. But we have to talk about them.
True.
Yeah. This is
I love the whole theme of the sleeping curse came back into everybody's life, and Belle's worried about her pregnancy, talking to Zelina, be like, oh, hey, Snow White sped up your pregnancy, which means Hades can probably speed up mine. Time is not on my side anymore. And then she has the brilliant idea of putting herself under a sleeping curse.
What is the point of any of this, of her and Rumple fighting and loving and breaking up, whatever, if it's not even true love?
Right.
If you can acknowledge that his kiss wouldn't wake you up, what is the point? This is outrageous. It's ridiculous.
Roxy is incensed.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Belle, wait. I feel like she's my girlfriend. I want to shake her and say, wake up, honey. Wake up. You're not with the right guy.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Yeah, and Rumple keeps saying, he's like, I'm not that man, Belle. I'm not the one that can wake you up from true love's kiss. Like, he's literally saying that. And she's like, I know. It's not going to be you. It's going to be my father. So where's Maurice?
Random.
Yeah.
Random.
It's such a dumb plan. Also,
it's
feel like...
not well thought out, that's for sure.
No.
She just is mentally checked out, so she's like, you know what? I want to take a nap. I'm tired. Like, I want a deal. You guys figure this out, she's and like, then get my daddy.
She's like, the morning sickness has already started. It'd be better if I could just sleep through this. I mean, I get it, girl. Like, I get it. But...
indigestion's not fun.
It's not cute.
Riley does bring up a point. He says, I like how Belle made a choice, but why? Yeah, that's true. At least she did... make a choice.
Yeah. Which she has trouble with.
Yeah. She was trying to hold out for herself more so. There's like self-protection. I get it. That if she's put under, Hades can't touch her, the pregnancy can't happen, then that buys more time for Rumple. I was like, I kind of get her logic.
Who even knows if that's true, though, Marissa? Like, Hades could just be like, actually, I can break that curse. Let me take your kid and leave you asleep and put you in the river of souls.
Right, there are no rules. Oh, like, yeah. Hades could turn on them at any point. Like, there's no guarantee he's going to keep his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I don't know. It was very unfortunate to see their relationship get down to that point where she's so desperate to, like, not do anything with Rumple.
Yeah, she doesn't even care.
She puts herself in a sleeping curse. And I think it was so funny how so conveniently there was a bed right there. Like, hey.
Every time somebody passes out in Gold's shop, there's always that cot, weird futon thing.
She put it there. She knew she was going to prick herself. She's like, oh, I don't want to hit my poor head.
Bless her
heart.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else of this episode that we may have missed, that you loved, that's worth mentioning?
No. So many hashtags.
I have one thing. This episode was actually directed by Eric Lissell. If you guys don't know him, he played a big character in ER.
Oh, nice.
Ago. And random, I actually hung out with him one night at a bar for like 3 hours.
So shout out to him.
Wow.
So Hollywood. Yeah, I've actually met the director of this episode.
That's cool.
Was he drinking whiskey?
He was cool. We were drinking vodka. This?
Oh.
Well, there you go.
True story.
Better than gin.
Yeah, random, but that's Hollywood. All right, so Blake, your favorite part of the show?
It is
Once
time.
Upon a Weave.
It's time for Once Upon a Weave. All right, tonight, honorable mention goes to, sorry about it, but Zelina, dat weave dough in all those scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, she put her face on, she put her hair on. It was giving me life, just sitting back drinking whiskey with all that hair, all that volume. Yep. Honorable mention.
I agree. She did look great.
The winner this week of Once Upon a Weave, though, has to go to Ruby. Because the way she walked the line between, like, I'm rough and in the woods, and sometimes I'm a wolf, and so I have these few braids, and it's a little bit, you know, raggedy, to, like, then I'm going to shake it out and be, like, sexy, hot, lipstick, Les. Bravo, Ruby.
Even her wolf hair was
sexy.
On point, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fit, like, when she was actually the wolf, I was like, oh, you look well-groomed.
Yeah.
As a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's well groomed every single time you see her.
Oh my God. She's the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, amazing.
She's beyond. I know. She's beyond, beyond, beyond. And dishonorable mention, though, goes to Dorothy. Bedhead. Eternal bedhead.
Yeah. Yeah. She had bedhead before that.
Bless her heart.
It happened.
Fair enough. Ruby's hair was on point. I hope we see Ruby in more episodes.
Yes.
I was like, love Megan. She's fantastic. Phenomenal. And if she's not a Once Upon a Time, you can go over to the Hallmark Channel and watch her on Chesapeake Shores.
Oh nice. Good to know.
Have I made it clear that I love Ruby? Does everybody know?
I think everyone's real aware.
I think so. I love her. There you go. No, because she's fantastic.
Yeah. She's great.
Okay. All right. Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh, we see Korra for a hot second in the preview.
Excited about that. Very you know, excited. Anytime Barbara Hershey's on screen, I'm happy.
Anytime.
Nicholas Kelly says, get this clear. Next week we are dealing with a ton of guy liner.
That's yes.
Guy eyeliner mixed in with some sibling rivalry and some hope speechless and some hope speeches, all courtesy of David Nolan. Yes, yeah, so I think that's a pretty spot on.
That's pretty good. That's pretty accurate.
Guy liner for life.
It looks like the next episode for next week will be more man based. We'll get all the men and catch up with them because this one was.
It was very girl power tonight, and rightfully so.
It was all women power, which I'm all for, too. But, like, next week we're going to catch up with the guys.
Yeah, and I need some more hooker moments. Like, we got them back.
We need some more outlaw queen moments. Shoot, where the heck was Robin?
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, next week we're going to be dealing with the evil twin, and we're also going to be dealing with the Hades and Zelina. Yeah. And I'm like, can we just get a good makeout session from Hook and Emma? Because I miss it.
That would be nice. That would be really nice, actually.
Like, just
that
like, wake
and
up
Robin
together.
And Regina. Like, those two couples are my favorite relationships.
We've had hooker moments sooner, like, more recently than outlaw queen. So, writers, come on.
Yeah.
You're killing me. You're killing us. We need Robin and Regina back together again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, what do you think is going to happen with Zelina and Hades? We think that she's playing him a little bit. Is Zelina on a path to good?
Yes, but I think she's going to be confused and up and down, but at the end of the day, I think she's going to make the right choice and be on our side.
And this is a far-fledged prediction, like probably not till the season finale, but I think it's going to take something that Zelina has to ultimately bring down Hades. Like, I think Zelina is going to have to work with our heroes to bring him down. I feel like there's going to be one component missing.
Yeah. Dead flower dough.
Dead flower dough.
Dead flower.
Watch it come back.
All right, what do we think of Henry? Because we saw a bit about him today and his writing skills being the author.
It seemed like he wasn't blacked out today.
No.
Which is good.
He was aware of what he was doing.
He was present.
Yeah.
My one beef, though, with Henry in this episode is that we dismissed the Cruella thing, like, really flippantly, where he was like, oh, what, just because I refused to write you back to life? And I was like, no, she's still holding that over your head. Like, I want that story. I really want that story. I liked that story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once all of them actually, eventually, they have to get back to Storybrooke. Do we think Cruella and Pan will be there?
I hope so.
Because we didn't see Pan.
That'd be cool.
He wants to get back.
That would be lovely.
He's one of my favorite villains, too.
Yeah, he's great. Hades is growing on me as a villain. I was like, dude.
Yeah, me too, Marissa.
Greg, you're
awesome. He's nailing it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I love this portrayal of Hades.
I can deal with the blue poofing. I just cannot deal with the blue hair. So they're eliminating that. They're just going with the poof. And I'm like, Hades, you do you, man.
You do you, boo.
I agree with that. Anytime anyone poofs, it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty fun to watch. Okay. Great episode and fun.
Yeah, totally
more
fun.
So woman power.
Ruby.
Woman power. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and watching and listening and downloading and all those fun things. Where can everyone keep following you?
You can find me at Blake McIver on both Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Roxy Stryer on both Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Follow Tiana at the Tiana Hobson. Mm-hmm. She'll be back. And everyone, thank you for listening, tuning in. Keep rating, keep downloading, keep subscribing. And we'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.